30th, 1996, and today I'm at Sun Lakes Resort in Banning, California. It's a beautiful day, going to get hot. We have a nice, comfortable air-conditioned situation here, so there's no problem there. But we're talking today with Lee Helsel, his wife Mary, and we're really pleased to be here. So, Lee, why don't you get us started and tell us about where you're born and brought up, and tell us about the early days of your square dance experience.
Okay, Bob. Hey, it's real nice to have you here. Mary and I enjoy very much running this. I like the idea of this project you're doing, because I think it's been a lot of square dancing that helpful to maintain it as long as keep the principles of square dancing. I was born in Mason City, Iowa, and March 12th, 1917.
Okay.
And my father was a school teacher and educator, and he moved out to California in 1924, and he was president of a small school in Los Angeles. It was a college and a high school combined, a church school. My first was interested in music, and my mother and dad gave me piano lessons, which turned out to be kind of the basis of my musical experiences, and I still play piano. But I went to Holly High here in the Los Angeles area, which the earthquake took down. But it's no longer there. Then I went to college 3 years in Seattle. Civic College, went to a skirt church school there, and then came back and did 2 more years at USC, where my father was teaching for that time. I did a stint in the service, and I went in the service working with the Recreation Department of the City of L.A. And when I got back in 1946, I returned to working with the city, and went out to what's called Roscoe Playground in the valley of San Fernando Valley. And at that time, square dancing was just starting to become very popular. And Mary and I went down to square dance class that was being operated both by Virginia Pinterell, the recreation director, and Jonesy. And we learned in 6 lessons all we needed to know.
Right.
And so I went back to my recreation place and where I was working, and started a square dance class there.
This must have been late 1940s?
This was in 46.
The interesting thing about our learning,
it's okay.
Is that during the war, when all the fellows were gone, by Virginia Dixon at that time was her name, she was teaching square dancing, and had all women, and they would wear the men place was taken by the women, they wear a cap on their head.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we first saw the square dancing. And she had done that to keep women busy and everything while their husbands were in the service.
Incidentally, that's Mary. She's my real source of strength in square dancing. We got more intimately involved in square dancing by working with the LA City Recreation Department, because they started square dance calling and leadership classes, six of them in the city, and we were privileged to go to the one that Ralph Maxheimer was then working with the city recreation. And that was run by, the instructor was Ray Shaw, Pappy Shaw's brother. And he'd been in square and folk dancing for a long time, of course. Around the city, we then branched out and called for clubs and taught classes. And one of the most interesting ones that we had for about 2.5 years was a group of motion picture people who had gotten some records with calls on them and had started to teach themselves. And they only got so far, and then they realized they had to have some more instruction, and so they came one night to a dance I was calling United Magnum's temple up on Wilshire Boulevard, and they hired us, and that started a really nice relationship with a group of about six couples, and then they would have dances once a week for a whole year, for 2.5 years we did, and at different homes, and then invite a lot of the popular friends and actors and people in square dancing, or in the movies. And we got to meet so many of them that it's just really hard to pick out some, but one of the members of the group was Danny Kaye's accompanist, Sammy Prager, and he started out by inviting Danny to come and dance with us, and then others did the same thing. And they wouldn't come on a regular basis, but we weren't complicated dancing at that time. They did very well. The 1951.
Let me interrupt here just a minute. Before that, we were calling in Van Nuys at a little barn on it was where a school was.
School.
Little barn on the corner, and we had about six squares in that, but they'd always end up at the head of the hall and crowd the car out because the floor slanted. So.
Oh, okay.
And then another experience we had there in Van Nuys was at the Catherine E. Sales School, and we used to have 20, 25 squares that we taught and called for and everything. And they made it enough money to fix the entire
and pave the parking.
And
parking
pave the parking lot.
Right.
That those were in the days when we used a lot of live music, and we had a wonderful piano player there who did all of our square dance calls, and then with the round dancing. One of the things I want to say about rounds, Mary and I always felt, and we taught always two squares and one round. And we brought all those people around Nancy, and it seemed just very natural to them.
Well, earlier, Lee, didn't you tell me that you... most of the square dancing was associated with the folk dance people.
Oh, yes.
That was after we moved to Sacramento.
Well,
oh, was it?
That was particularly in Sacramento, but even in Los Angeles, when we were there, the folk dancing was really a stronger movement than square dancing. And I think that Bob Osgood and his inviting of Lloyd Shaw to come and give a show as well as a seminar was one of the things that really helped in Los Angeles the development of square dancing there. And Bob, of course, started on the same day that he had Lloyd Shaw, he put out the first issue of
right.
Magazine Sets in Order, which he published for so many years.
Right.
That we had very fine acquaintances with Bob Osgood and Jonesy and Jim York, who you may not know about, but one of the most tremendous callers I've ever heard. He died of a brain tumor, but he was a very, very excellent caller, and we were very good friends with me and Gene. In 1951, we moved to Sacramento, where I took a job with the State of California Department of Mental Hygiene, which operated all the mental hospitals, and I had an administrative job in charge of head of rehabilitation for the state hospitals. I traveled a good deal throughout the state with that job, but also started kept my calling with my local club, the Pathfinders, or with the Highwaymen, and later on with another club called Pathfinders. So I had two clubs there for a good many years. But however, on the weekends, and I then started to record with and that got me some booking dates outside of Sacramento and more into California and other parts of the country. And that's how my traveling calling part of my career started, and it was with Bob's publication of his records, Sets in Order records, that got me involved in that. We spent from 1951 to 1980 in Sacramento, working for the state of California. I had two or three other jobs. I ended up as head of the Medi-Cal program for the state of California.
Right.
And one of the worst jobs I had ever had, because I had a governor, young J. Brown, that didn't care about saving money. Hard to make a decision, except he felt it was in his best interest. Then I had the two clubs in Sacramento, and then I started out, and we became callers and teachers in Weekend Institute starting sets in order with Bob and Cecil Barn, and then the group in Calgary, Canada, went to Banff, which was their full week of square dancing. We did that for 25 straight years, and we worked there with Megan Manning Smith and with Joe Lewis and Bruce and Shirley Johnson and the Claire, Johnny and Marge Claire.
Right.
And then during the times, the Saturdays, I very, very often would take a charter there and on the Sacramento. Go to San Francisco, get on the red eye, and they would call a Saturday afternoon and a Saturday night dance, and places such as Washington, D.C., Alabama, all over the country. We were happy with those folks who invite us. And in fact, we did the Washington, D.C. festival for about 20 straight years.
Yeah, right.
And that was the one that had nine callers.
Right.
That most of the top callers in the country were there.
That was the, Atlantic Convention?
No, this just...
This was a private party.
Washington, D.C., they were in the Park Sheridan Hotel, and had about 3,000 to 4,000 dancers there for a whole weekend.
I think we were only did about 10.
It wasn't as well. It was about 10, 12 times we did that.
Yeah.
We also were sponsored by the United States Air Force to go to Europe. Teaching and calling sessions that were in Germany and let's see, Spain, Morocco.
London.
England and in Paris, and that was a very interesting thing. Well, what we would do would be to teach their callers and then call a Saturday night dance, and
right.
We got quite a little participation, especially in Germany, where we did the European festival, as they called it, there at the zoo, building in the zoo at Frankfurt, and that was very interesting.
Lee, I've asked everybody that could talk with so far that have been overseas, any experience with non-English speaking?
Oh yes, a lot of it. We, of course, Germany had more English-speaking German nationals in the programs, but when we got down to Spain, the American, their program was where Americans were in the Air Force, but they didn't have any wives or girlfriends with them, and they would bring in dance classes of ladies who were in Spanish ballet, and they had done some teaching and so forth. They knew the square dance terms, but they could not sit down and converse with you. And they knew out and left, right and left, and right and left through beautifully, but they couldn't say, how are you, and so forth in English. So that was very interesting.
I always found that intriguing. I can't imagine how these people were taught by someone who was speaking Spanish and then teaching an English command.
Well, they had, now they had some local callers that were in the Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
That knew some Spanish or had gotten interpreted.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So they could go through it. And they were very, very sharp students, these gals, and a few men.
Japanese, I guess, were very
Japanese. Yes,
yeah. Very different.
We never got to Japan.
Interesting thing, though, in Morocco. Let's see, what air base was that?
Oh, that was Nuristor Air Base.
Air Base. And they had a lot of wives over there with them.
Yeah.
And so they decided to give us a good southern dinner, you know, fried chicken and biscuits and all that sort of thing. And then they decided to invite the, I call them the blue people. They were the local
Morocco.
And what the reason they were called the blue people is because the clothes they wore, in order to get them, the color they wanted, they had to dye them, and they dyed them blue. And then the blue wore off onto the person that was wearing them.
Yeah, we do.
And so they decided to invite them to this dinner and let them do some of their local dances for us. Well, it was quite an experience because here they got all this fried chicken, all these biscuits, and all this other goody stuff. And
they let
the Moroccans go first. Well, the Moroccans were, you know, they'd never seen anything like this. But of course, they had silverware out there for them to use, but they didn't know how to use silverware. So what they did, they just went through and they just used their hands and they picked up this and that and were putting
stuff
it
in
their pockets and
clothes
and everything and put it on a plate. And then, of course, nobody wanted to go through these after the Moroccan's hands had been all through it and everything.
Everything was
but
loose.
They put on a nice little dance and then they enjoyed what we did too. So that was an interesting
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they the Air Force Special Services did a real nice job at that, and we had followed a couple of other couples. I see Bruce and Shirley Johnson had gone over,
and
Manning and Edith Smith,
and Bob.
And Bob and Becky Osgood. Is it? I can't remember.
Okay.
The other thing that I have became very interested in my calling career was the teaching of square dance callers. And I had written some materials, syllabus for teaching even before I left Los Angeles in 1946. And that I have worked on and used at a great many seminars that I gave all over the United States. And we have traveled, I think, we haven't been to Hawaii, through practically every state in the Union. Through with square dancing, and it varied a great deal, but we were very appreciative of the work that the local callers were doing, and they didn't get out there and didn't make records or anything of that sort, but they were very, very committed to giving people good square dance experience.
Right.
But
so we're called and taught in most of the provinces.
Oh, yeah. We
and Alaska.
Yeah.
There you go.
Including the French province.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We were in Alaska for the Air Force then, too.
We were there the weekend after they had the big earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
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 The teaching I really became very interested in, and Bob... Oscar to have me have his sets in order institute the CLMR, both for summer and winter sessions, and we did college classes during the day for that, and it was very, very satisfactory. In some of those sessions, we had excellent companionship with Bob Mackey and also Nita Manning Smith and Bruce Shirley and Bob Van Antwerp, incidentally. Shares a lot of my basic philosophy that square dancing is really a recreational activity. And Bob moved to, well, he was in Long Beach at first when I first met him. And then he moved to Lake Tahoe, and we were very close and still are. With them in the square dance field, though. He's not, I think he's not calling, he's very close to it.
Pretty much proud of you.
And we stopped and calling in 1980. It was a 1980. Because I retired from the state in 1979, and then I called 1 year afterwards. And our last dance was held on the fourth Saturday in June of 1980, and we were happy to have Bob Oswald there.